start with something that we always forget, which is that we sit for hours meditating, practicing at home or here. And we often have a kind of narrative, a story at the back of the mind saying, I am doing this in order to have certain experiences. I'm looking for more calm, I'm looking for more insight, I'm looking for more freedom, I'm looking for more experiences of something beyond. I'm looking to stop. But we should remember that meditation is a lot about developing attitude with which we look at life. And there may not be experiences, but an attitude, a way we are with the world and ourselves. And a lot of that is how we are, what we learn when we get up from meditation and meet life. So I just want to mention one or two attitudes that are helpful and important, and especially in this retreat. A primary attitude is that of deep trust. It's huge. It's not a small thing. Because we have a tendency to define life as a struggle. And it's always something that we have to deal with. Mitmoded im v'sader lachem, to struggle. What arises in our experience, we need to trust it. That is what arises. And it's a deep shift in attitude. It doesn't mean that we don't do things with it. What arises is a pain, we go and do something about it. But there's an attitude of trust with which we meet our experience as it comes. It's good enough. And that was the comment of Yahel yesterday about karma. It means it's good enough. What is arises needs to arise right now. And that attitude of trust is very important in our inner life. It's close to refuge, what we did yesterday. Refuge is active. It's not just a Buddhist ritual. It's a sense there's something to lean on, le sha'en al. We have something to lean on. It's not external, it's internal, betocheinu, but it's still something to lean on. It's close to trust. And then what tends to happen is if we have unpleasant and difficult experiences, we, because of an attitude of trust, we can invite them into tea, like Aikido, like the kind of Japanese martial art of Aikido. You invite your enemy in for tea. So this trust is first attitude I want to mention, and also it's close to faith. We trust what's happening, we trust the journey. We don't need to be impatient and try, and so it's not working, it is working, and it's measuring, I'm getting there, I'm not getting there. Leave that. What arises is just right, and I'm with it. Second attitude is authenticity. Be clear. Be authentic. What's really happening is what's happening, and I know it. If thinking is happening, that's what's happening. I'm clear about it. It's okay. That's what's happening. Especially in a retreat like this, there may be all kinds of things coming, words spoken from the Bama here, like self and non-self, and you can think, what the hell are they talking about? I don't understand a thing. Leave me alone with all this stuff on self and matter. But the authentic mind would say, I don't understand a thing. That's okay. Because non-understanding and understanding, not so different. It's okay. Just be authentic. If you don't understand, feel, that's great. If you do understand, think, that's great. A third attitude of energy. And I mentioned it yesterday, how the Buddha crossed the flood. By not stopping and by not struggling. So think of the energy of a hawk, Nesha, how it flies. And at times it needs to flap its wings, and at times it just catches the wind and hardly moves its body and goes miles. Our energy could be like that. Be aware of energy, soft energy. We just have to keep going. But it can be soft, kind, and occasionally we need a little bit of extra energy. Nachishut, aditana, it's okay. But a lot of the time we can be like a hawk, like a falcon, flying on the wind. And the fourth attitude, just a word, is renunciation. Letting go what we don't really need. So we may have all sorts of stuff left over from our life before the retreat, stuff we're thinking about, stuff that we miss, stuff that we've, I can't do without my telephone now. It's not quite working for me. Some of you were quite cold last night, I heard. Yeah, it's not so easy sometimes. But the renunciation is, okay, I'll manage with that. I'm not going to let it invade the mind. Just a little bit quieten those voices of need and worry and concern. Just a little bit actively quieten those voices. That's renunciation, vitur. And that's part of coming on retreat. So here are some attitudes. What about focus? And I think, again, all of you have been on retreats before, and you know that we're talking fundamentally at the beginning of a retreat mostly about breath and body as the place of focus of our attention. But all the time, we can be authentic and explore the boundary of breath and body. That means, for example, where in the breath can we really experience it? Can we experience it in the whole body? Can we experience the breath more subtly, more delicately? Can we appreciate and love each breath? So each breath becomes a world, and not just a practice, like as if we're going in the cheder kosher, the gym. So we really need to look under, a little bit under the radar, at subtle energies in the body. Go to more subtle energy, especially in this retreat, because the subtle places, for example, subtle sensations in the body, they're more universal, they're less personal. So you say, I have a hand and it very much looks like my hand. But if we experience the subtle energy of touch and stay there with it, we will experience something that is not me. Doesn't belong to me, it's just sensations. Whose are they? They're just sensations. Life. Belong to life. So if we go to the subtle places, it helps to kind of open things out of the place of ownership. But sometimes I think we need to open out the view. And it's really okay, especially if you get a bit lost, just to open the view and feel, experience sound, for example. Even if the sound is lots of coughing in the room and sneezing. It's okay, it's just sound. Experience something a bit bigger, the space around, sense of being in a bigger world. So now and then we can just open out the gaze. And dealing with thought, we often measure our experience in meditation as how much thought controls me. And how much I'm distracted and it's taking me away. But I think we can, with the attitude that I mentioned before, I think we can change that way of relating to thought. Firstly, we trust it. It's what needs to happen. It's what's coming up. It's also life. So thought becomes a friend and not an enemy. And when we allow thought to be a friend and not an enemy, we actually begin to be able to see the way thought just rolls along in background, just like sensations in the hands. So we're not trying to fight thought, but we're trying perhaps to let it be less dominant over the entire consciousness. So yes, when you get lost in thought, do step out. Take a step, step back. Come back to awareness, yes. But we do it with kindness, with understanding that the thought is not an enemy. We don't need to get rid of it. This lovely quote from Achan Chah that says, a thought comes into the consciousness and wants to sit down. But there's only one seat in the consciousness, and you're sitting there. So there's nowhere for the thought to sit, so it has to get up and go. Keep stepping out of thought, but don't need to attack it. Okay, let it be there in background, let it float past, like the birds in the sky or the clouds passing by. So for those that are interested, you may also be able to feel and sense the ownership of thought, the sense that it's me, my thought, I am, I think. You can sense the Sakhan Rashi, the chief actor in this drama, is me. And it's expressed very clearly in thought. So now and then just pay attention. Wow, it's always me thinking. It's always me. I don't like, this has happened. My memory of yesterday, what I want for tomorrow, what is there, what isn't there, what I want to do, what I want to do. So just, you know, now and then notice that there is a kind of a Sakhkan Rashi in all this thinking. So that leads me to a few words about self and a really important message. Don't try to get rid of the self. Okay? Don't try to get rid of self. Never mind what you read in Buddhist books or what you hear. Don't try to mochek, limchok, the self. That's not the way to do it. It just leads to problems and struggle. Instead of that, it's much more important and interesting to see the arising of selfing as a response to what happens in the world. Tguva. As we respond, Ech anachnu magivim lemashu. That's the time litfos et ha'ani. Ledugma, anachnu, lo yodea, nechnesim le'aruchat boker, v'rotim lechem, v'en, v'rotim daisa, Scotty, Angli, v'yesh rak orez, v'oy. Mi omer et ze? Mi yesh et ha'tzipiyot? Mi magiv? Mi omer, ah, yesh li zikaron lechem tari tov? Ma ze? So immediately, if you can, just get a sense that there is behind things a kind of a narrative called I, and just get a sense of it as coming and going in different situations. But the kind of inner voice, it's like the weather. It's like the weather. There'll be clouds, there'll be sun. Don't get rid of the weather. So, just, and don't need to work on it very hard, okay? It's a background, it's a now and then, just gently notice it during the course of the day, b'meshech hayom. Don't need to work on this obsessively, it doesn't help. The sense of selfing is delicate, and it needs to be delicate, needs to be bit by bit understood, in an intuitive way. Okay? So we, you know, like the weather. Shimum, Isheket, the weather. Raining, sun. Hitnagduyot, Bilbul. They like the weather. So we just stand back and see that these phenomena are arising. Trust them. With trust, a little bit sense, oh, I am experiencing, I am taking them inside. So, finally, just the wisdom. We keep stepping out, seeing things arising, passing, things created by the context, by conditions. A certain condition happens and a certain result happens. Just let go into that. We walk in the dining room, we see food, and what happens? That's a condition. The results are thought and feeling and senses and sensation. Just be very clear and wise about the conditions and our experiences that come as a result. It's all one big kaleidoscope, our 24 hours. So we'll take a few minutes of practice now.